You know, it's just like I say, if you're going to go through a trial, why waste it? Why just go through it? Why get all beat up and bloody and dogged out and then walk away and not gain anything from it? The next time you go through, identify with Christ and his path.
The teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of I've Got Something to Brag About. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of I've Got Something to Brag About.
And I spend time with God in the morning. Yo, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get to know the person of Christ if I'm reading in the gospel. As I listen to radio, Christian radio or sermons on my way to work, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get to know the person of Jesus Christ. I want to know him. You know, just like you know the people in your life, like some of y'all, don't be like the guy who he was trying to make things with his right with his wife, and he brought her a gift, and she got upset and stormed out of the room. And somebody said, well, what did you get her? He said, I got her favorite flowers. And they said, well, what was that? He said, Pillsbury. You know? He didn't understand. He didn't know his wife. He didn't know his wife. See, you know your wife. You know your husband. You know your children. You know them. You know, if I was to go and ask those of you who have more than one child and I was to sit down with you, you could tell me the personality, the difference between the personality in your children. You could tell me what foods your children like and don't like. You could tell me what makes them happy, what makes them sad. You know them. Just like that, you know them. And God said, as through the Apostle Paul, that the same way that you know your children, Paul said, I want to know Christ. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know what makes Christ happy. I want to know what makes him sad. I want to know from reading about him how he would react in this situation and how he would react in that situation. I want to know him. The second thing that Paul says that we can brag about, remember Jeremiah said, don't brag in the fact that you got big bucks. Don't brag in the fact that you look like Charles Atlas. Don't brag about the fact that you are wiser than Solomon. He said, let him that brag in this, that he understands and knows me. That's something to brag about. And then you know what? And I didn't bring this out when I was over there, Jeremiah, but it also, he finished by saying, in these things do I delight. In these things do I delight. What does God delight in? God delights in the fact that somebody knows him. That's what makes him happy, when you know him. You know, Isaiah, is it Isaiah? I think it's Isaiah. Isaiah talked about, let me turn there real quick. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Yeah, amen, amen. I was wondering. I was getting a little worried there. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. Isaiah says this. The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. He says even the animals, an animal knows his master. He knows when he's going to bring food. He knows what kind of food he's going to bring. He knows when he's going to do this and when he's going to do that. Isaiah said, the ox knows his master, but my people don't know me. Are you smarter than an ox? There's a show on TV. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? All right? Are you smarter? See, I would never get on that show. Because they put me to shame, man. I was telling people this morning about math. You know, I got to college, and once again, y'all don't be like Pastor Glaze now. I did graduate from college with a 3.2, so I will say that. But math wasn't one of my things. And when it came to math, and I had to take a math course in college, I looked for the lowest level math course that there was. Yeah, general math. I think the highest we got was breaking down fractions. That was that was about it. So, you know, this one area where all the youth in here, you can excel, Pastor Glaze, in math. And go ahead with your bad self. Amen. Amen. But, you know, as we look at this, you know, that the ox knows his master. You know, are you smarter than the ox? You know, one of the dumbest animals he gives here. Look at the two animals that he gives, the ox and the donkey. Stubborn and dumb. Stubborn and dumb. The most stubborn and the dumbest know their master. Are you smarter than an ox? The second thing that Paul says that he can brag about, he says that we can brag about knowing the power of Christ. Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. This word resurrection, or the word power, comes from the Greek word dunamis, and it means ability. That you have the ability to do whatever it is that God would have you to do. And Paul said that I not only want to know the person of Christ, but I want to know the power of his resurrection. As I think about the power of the resurrection of Christ, put up that next slide. What does the power, you know, and I began to meditate on this. What does the power of the resurrection mean? That I want to know him. I want to know his person. And I want to know his power. And when Paul says I want to know his power, that means I want that same power that all that I can get in my life, I want to have it so I can live a victorious life. The power of his resurrection. What does that involve? It involves the power of life over death. When Jesus rose from the dead, what did he do? He rose bodily from the dead, and he came back to life. Oh, now, stay with me now, because I'm going somewhere on this. The second thing, it involves a power that overcomes the limitations of the physical body. In his resurrected body, Jesus was transparent. What was he able to do? The disciples were gathered in a room, and the next thing we know, where was Jesus? He was right in the middle of them. They didn't see him come in. He was able to come through the walls. It involved a transparent body. His resurrected body was eternal. It was never going to die again. You know, everybody in the scripture that rose from the dead, they all died again, except for maybe one or two. But the one that never died was Jesus Christ. His body lived eternally. His resurrected body was glorified. And not only that, but his resurrected body involved the power. It says that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. It said that the Son raised himself from the dead. And then it said that the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. Watch this now. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying that I might know the power of his resurrection. Look at the power of his resurrection. Life over death, removal of limitations of the body, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all working. That's what I want in my life. Paul said that I might know the power of his resurrection. And why is it that we have Christians all the time walking around defeated and discouraged and beat down and beat up? The reason is because they're not walking in the power of his resurrection. Jesus, or Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, he gives us this powerful revelation. One that I've pointed out many times from this pulpit before. In chapter 1, in verse 19, Paul says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Where does he say? He said, "What is his power in us, toward us?" Well, what power is that, Paul? It's the same power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Man, the same power that was used to bring Jesus up out of the grave, the apostle says that the same power is available to us. And why, you know, and I just don't understand the body of Christ, why we have so much defeat and why we have so much discouragement and why we have so much negativity when we are to be walking in resurrected power. Man, there's too much at stake here for us to go around like we've been beat like a puppy and walk away like we've been, you know, just whipped. Man, you got all kind of power. You know, it's just like that guy who went to the store and he bought the chainsaw. And he came home and was trying to cut down trees with the chainsaw. And, it's taking him forever to cut trees down. He never really did get a tree cut down with this chainsaw. And he took it back to the dealer and he said, "This thing don't work." And the guy said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I was out here for a couple hours trying to cut down trees and I couldn't get them cut down." And the guy said, "Well, let me see that." And he pulled the cord and it went rrr, rrr, rrr. And the man said, "What's that noise?" He had all that power, but he wasn't using it. He was out there trying to do it in his own strength and in his own energy. All the power in the world. My brothers and sisters, you got all this power that's available to you. And why is it that we are not taking advantage of it? Oh, just to be able to go through situations and go through them victoriously, realizing that God has given me the strength to deal with whatever I need to deal with today. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you have resurrection power today? Do you have resurrection power? Do you have the victory today? We sing the song, "Victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind, cause victory today is mine." But when you sing that, is that a reality in your life? Is that something that is happening in your life, that you are truly walking in the victory? I've got something to brag about. Brag about knowing the person of Christ, bragging about knowing the power of Christ, and then finally he said we can brag about knowing the passion of Christ. If you look at your notes, it says Paul wanted to know the fellowship of Christ's suffering. The word fellowship is a word that we're all familiar with here at Bethany, the Greek word koinonia. It refers to a deep, intimate communion with another person. According to John MacArthur, Paul wanted a deep partnership and communion with Christ in his suffering. When he met Christ, Paul gained a companion to be with him in his suffering, one who endured far more intense persecution and suffering than anyone else who ever lived, and all of it was undeserved. In relation to the believer, MacArthur continues, "The deepest moments of spiritual fellowship with the living Christ are at the times of intense suffering. Suffering drives believers to him. They find in him a merciful high priest, a faithful friend who feels their pain, and a sympathetic companion who faced all the trials and temptation they faced. He is thus uniquely qualified to help them in their weaknesses and their infirmities." See, you know, we want to know the person of Christ. We want to identify intimately with the person, I hope. And definitely, you know, as I preach this message, we want to identify intimately with the power of Christ, the resurrection power. But how many of us want to identify with the fellowship of his sufferings? You know, you go to people's homes and you see plaques on the wall. And what do they say? "Saved to what? Serve." You got it. Save to serve. Let me ask this question. Maybe some of you. How many people have gone to somebody's home and they saw a plaque on the wall, "Save to suffer"? I don't see any hands going up. Why is that? Because that's not what we want to do. You know, we want to serve. We want all the goodies. We want all the glory. But do we want the suffering? And as I think about the suffering of Christ, look at these things. And as I was meditating last night and just thinking, well, what does it, I tried to interact with this and say, well, what does that mean? You know, to know his person, to know his power, and to know the fellowship of his son. What does that mean? Well, let's go back. And let's draw from the best analogies that we can draw from in the scripture. The first one is, It involves a feeling of separation from the Father. What did Jesus say in Matthew 27:46 when he was hanging on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? His suffering was like a feeling of separation from the Father. And I know there's many times in our lives, you know, this situation, sometimes that I've been dealing with. I know I've looked up and I said, now, God, where are you at? Where are you at, God? When are you going to intervene? When are you going to do something? But at that very moment, when I have that feeling, what am I doing? I need to go back. Watch this now. I need to go back and read Matthew 27:46 and see what Jesus experienced. And that when I feel that the Father has separated himself from me, and I feel that God is not there like I would like to see him there, that at that very moment, what am I doing? I'm identifying with the suffering of Jesus Christ. If you feel like God has left you, if you feel like you're going through a situation and you feel separated from God, if you're going through a situation and you've prayed over and over again and you haven't seen any results, and all of a sudden you get this feeling of like you're alone, all alone in this situation by yourself, that you're out here on an island and you're by yourself, that at that very moment that you feel that, you ought to go back and read this scripture. And what does that do? That puts you into Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. Jesus also had the feeling of being deserted by others. In Matthew 26:56, it said that all the disciples left him, that when they took him in the garden, they all fled. Have you ever been alone? Have you ever had to stand by yourself? Have you ever had to go through a situation where it was just you and you were deserted? Jesus felt deserted. You know, all the guys who said that they would stick with him to the end left. And we talk about that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that whenever we feel that we've been deserted, that we go back and read this passage of scripture. And as we read this passage of scripture, we try to feel how Christ felt, how that he took care of these guys for 3 years. They followed him and he fed them and he took care of their needs for 3 years, and he supported and encouraged them for 3 years. And now after 3 years, have you ever had somebody, man, that you were close to and you took sweet communion with, and the next thing you know, they had turned against you? The psalmist in that prophetic psalm, talking about how Judas would betray Christ, one of the things that he said in there, that we took sweet counsel together. He turned on me. He deserted me. Man, how does that feel? How does that feel to be left all alone? How does that feel to be deserted by those around you? Just think of what Christ must have went through when that happened to him. Paul said that I might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And then he also said right there, he endured a lot of excruciating pain. He was beaten with a whip. We've all seen the movie The Passion, his back torn open, crown of thorns jammed on his head, ripping the skin, blood trickling down his face, nailed to a cross, very excruciating pain. He was in a lot of pain as he was hung there on that cross. And some of you, you're dealing with sickness in your body. You're dealing with pain. You're dealing with all kind of infirmities. And instead of you identifying with Christ in that suffering, you want to call and complain. You want to call and talk. Now, once again, I'm one finger going y'all's way, three coming back at me. You know, all my back hurts. My shoulder hurts. My knee hurts. My head hurts. Somebody said, you know you got problems when your back goes out more than you do. So you know you got some big time issues, big time problems. All right. But at that time, when you're feeling pain, why don't you go back and read the passion of Christ. Why don't you go back and read how they whipped him and how that they nailed him to a cross. And at that point, what are you doing? You're identifying with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Paul said that I might know him. I might know his person. I might know his power, but also might know his passion. That if he did it, and he did this for me, that I know that I can do it. He also, it involved public humiliation. They spat on him. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They stripped him. Here he was humiliated publicly. Maybe you've been in that situation. Maybe you haven't been publicly humiliated, but there's been some humiliation that have taken place in your life, and you just felt that it was the worst thing in the world that has ever happened to you. Hey, you in good company. You in good company. Paul said that whenever that happens to you, just go back and read when they spat on him. Go back and read when they made fun and mocked him as they walked by. Go back and read that and just say, look, man, I cannot. You know, Jesus, I feel you, man. I feel you. We don't do that. We don't do that. We do everything else but that. And man, God convicted my heart that here's opportunities for me where Paul gives us this clear instruction and the desire of his heart, what we should do, and we miss opportunities. We blow opportunities to identify with the suffering of Christ. You know, it's just like I say, if you're going to go through a trial, why waste it? Why just go through it? Why get all beat up and bloody and dogged out and then walk away and not gain anything from it? The next time you go through, identify with Christ and his passion. And you know what? Paul wasn't just doing this so that we could feel bad or so that we could go to this and say, I have had this experience. But Paul was doing this that our knowledge of Christ might become more intimate and that we might have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. The sad thing is that many Christians only have a surface relationship with Christ. Just look at, you know, just get online and pull up some of the statistics of people who are actually committed to following. That are committed to follow the teaching of Jesus Christ. They say they're Christians. If you got 100% of the people that say that they're Christians, by the time you go through this and go through that, and you say, are you committed to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ? Less than 15% of people who say that they're Christians are following the teaching. We got too many surface Christians, and the reason that we have too many surface Christians is because we don't know Christ. We don't know him. Paul said, look, he said, I don't want to be a surface Christian. I just don't want to be somebody who is a casual Christian who knows about Jesus. I don't want to just be a person that knows about the resurrection. I don't want to be a person that knows about the suffering. I don't want to be a person that knows about the person of Christ. He said, I want to know, I want to gnosko, I want to know from a deep, intimate relationship with him. If this is the desire of our heart, then truly, we have something to brag about. You got something to brag about if you know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series titled The Names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, I've Got Something to Brag About, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I've Got Something to Brag About. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I've Got Something to Brag About. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.